I got my message this morning. You know, at the beginning of the year, a lot of people make resolutions and things like that. Some people pick a verse for the year, or just a word to focus on for the year. And this year, I chose to focus on the word peace. And, of course, not knowing what was going to transpire this year, it turned out to be a very good word to focus on, to meditate upon, to think about. So this morning, I'd like to give a little message about peace. And it's not going to be specifically related to this Resurrection Sunday, although that will tie in as part of it. So what I did, I looked up, Sandy, you'd be proud. You can see all my notes and my figurings here. I looked up in my online Bible program the word peace to see where it occurs in the Bible. And so it turns out there's 400 verses in the Bible that use the word peace. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word is shalom, which appears 236 times, and has the idea of wholeness or well-being, just all-around soundness. And then in the New Testament, the Greek word is eirene, and it has the idea of harmony, tranquility, rest. And so I thought, well, I'm gonna see exactly where this is. I've kind of got an analytical mind, so that's what this chart was. I went through all the books of the New Testament and got how many occurrences of this word peace occurs in them, and you know, I just kind of categorized it. Then I sorted it by which books have the most. There's only one book in the New Testament that doesn't have the word peace. That's 1 John. There's 7 books where it just occurs once, 8 books where it occurs twice. But the what struck me the most is the book where the word peace occurs the most number of times is the book of Luke. So that's where I thought, well, that's where it occurs the most. I'm going to start there. So if you have your Bible, if you want to turn to the book of Luke, that's where we're going to be looking this morning. So as I said, peace occurs 92 times in the New Testament. About a third of those are in the greetings to the epistles. You know, Paul and the other authors often write at the beginning of their epistle and at the end, grace and peace to you. So about a third of the occurrences are in those situations. But in the book of Luke, the word peace occurs 13 verses. And so I'd like to go through those, and you're going to see, it's pretty amazing, really. I didn't know what I was going to find when I started this, but it's pretty amazing what happens, what we're going to find. So, if you look in Luke chapter 1, that's where we're going to start, Luke chapter 1. Luke begins with the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, and the miraculous birth of John. And in the course of that, we'll look starting in Luke 1 and verse 76. This is Zechariah giving a prophecy, and he says, "And you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the dawn will visit us from on high, to shine on those who live in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And in this prophecy that Zechariah made, he actually references a number of Old Testament scriptures. Malachi wrote, "Behold, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me." Isaiah wrote, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." And the amazing thing is, as I was reading this, I was thinking, not only has a light dawned, but the light, the dawn himself, has come from heaven. It's just amazing to think about that. And also, the verse 79 that specifically talks about, that specifically mentions the word peace, I couldn't help but reading that and think of the famous memory verse, Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word incarnate is the light to guide our feet into the path of peace. And just what a wonderful, amazing thought to think of, even as the book of Luke begins, there's this thought that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the light from heaven, the light that has been spoken about, written about, prophesied about for hundreds of years that the people were waiting for. Now the light is coming into the world, and he's going to bring peace. He's going to guide us in the path of peace. Well, we don't have to go too much farther. If you just look over in Luke chapter 2, we'll see the next occurrence of peace, a famous one that even the children are familiar with. You remember the shepherds were in the field, and they get amazed by this angel announcing to them. And in verse 13 we read, suddenly there appeared with the angel a great multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. We have the angelic chorus proclaiming the glory to God in heaven and peace to men on earth. And you notice this peace is directed towards a specific group. It's peace for those on whom God's favor rests. There's a special peace that God gives that is for his people. And you remember the Lord Jesus, he said to his disciples that, I'm giving you a peace that this world can't give. And so those of us who know the Lord Jesus, those of us who are God's children, we have his peace. Paul writes about this all-surpassing peace. Don't worry, don't be anxious about everything, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There's this peace that only comes from God. Just a little bit further on in Luke chapter 2, there's another occurrence of peace. Starting to read at verse 28, Joseph and Mary had taken the baby Jesus to the temple, and they met this man Simeon, and we read that Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now you dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Simeon had peace because he had seen the baby Jesus, the Lord's salvation. Well, I have to be honest with you, this is a 45-minute message, so I'm going to be going through it quickly to try to, there's more that could be said about all of these, but we have to keep moving here. So, we'll go to Luke chapter 7 next. Luke chapter 7. Another very familiar Bible story where Jesus is at a man's house, and this woman comes and anoints his feet. And there's a discussion about that. So we'll break in at verse 47. Luke 7, verse 47. Therefore I tell you, because her many sins have been forgiven, she has loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. But those at the table began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sin? And Jesus told the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And here we see a number of things tied together: forgiveness, love, faith, salvation, peace, all tied together. And we're going to see some more of that just over in chapter 8. There's the story of the healing of a woman with an issue of blood. Luke 8, and we'll read at verse 47. Then the woman, seeing that she could not escape notice, came trembling and fell down before him. In the presence of all the people, she explained why she had touched him and how she had immediately been healed. "Daughter," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Again, there's this connection between faith and peace. In the chapter 7, there's forgiveness and peace. Here we have faith and healing and peace, all tied together. Luke chapter 10. This one's a little bit out of sync with the rest, but I'll read it for the completeness. In Luke chapter 10, verses 3-7, Jesus is instructing his disciples to send them out on a mission, and he says, "Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Carry no purse or bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone along the road. Whatever house you enter, begin by saying, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay at the same house, eating and drinking whatever you are offered. For the worker is worthy of his wages. Do not move around from house to house." So this is something a little bit different. When the Lord Jesus gave these instructions, sending his disciples out, they were to pronounce a benediction of peace on the home they entered. And it would become clear if their message was received or not. And those who received the message of salvation would receive peace, and those who didn't receive the message wouldn't. And again, that's true today. As we encounter people, there are some people who are open and receptive to God's message, and others who aren't. They just reject it. They aren't interested. They don't want to hear it. And the Lord tells us, the instructions he gave to his disciples here is, you know, if there's somebody who's showing an interest, then stay there. You keep moving ahead with it. But if somebody rejects it, just move on. There's, you know, a farmer doesn't keep planting seed in bad soil. If the soil's not ready, it doesn't make sense to keep planting seed there. You find somewhere where there is good soil, or you work the soil maybe to make it more suitable. But let's move on to Luke chapter 11. This is another one that's a bit of an oddball, but we'll read it here. Luke chapter 11 and verse 21. "When a strong man, fully armed, guards his house, his possessions are secure." And the King James has "in peace," and that's actually, it's the same word. So his possessions are secure or at peace. "But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted, then he divides up his plunder." Jesus, in this, right before these verses, Jesus had cast out a demon. And the people accused him of doing it by Satan's power. But Jesus said the famous words, "A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand." And he uses this illustration of a strong man. The strong man is Satan. The armed guards are his demons, and the possessions are all the people that he is taking captive. They're secure, they're at peace, they're resting peacefully. And how many people today are quite content being under Satan's control? They don't have a care in the world because they think they're all right, but they don't realize that the prince of darkness has them in bondage. And then a stronger man came along, the Lord Jesus. He came along to spoil Satan and his demons. He cast out the demons and set people free to follow him. And Isaiah wrote will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. In Colossians 2, Paul wrote, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The Lord Jesus has rescued us from this peace, being a slave, a captive, in bondage to Satan. And he has given us true freedom. If the Son has set you are free indeed. And that's a true peace, a wonderful peace, not a false peace like this world may try to offer. We've got to keep moving on here. Luke chapter 12. Luke 12, verse 49. The Lord Jesus says, I have come to ignite a fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it's completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but division. For from now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They'll be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. We have here a paradox. Jesus says he came not to bring peace, but division. Well, didn't the angels announce that Jesus came to bring peace? Well, yes, he did. He came to bring peace, but peace and harmony with God sometimes does bring division and disharmony, even within a family. And I know there's some this morning who can relate to that being a child of God means that he is above all else, even our family relations. And if there's so many people who have had to give up their family relations to follow Christ. Not that they want to, but so many people, their families have disowned them because they choose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a reality. He certainly brings peace, but in the process, it can bring this division. There's a choice of who we're going to follow. Are we going to follow him and have his peace or not? Well, we're getting near the end here. Luke chapter 14. We're only halfway through Luke, but we're near the end of the references to peace. Luke 14, verse 31. Or what king on his way to war with another king will not first sit down and consider whether he can engage with 10,000 men, the one coming against him with 20,000? And if he is unable, he will send a delegation while the other king is still far off to ask for terms of peace. The Christian life, the life of discipleship, is one of hardship and suffering, building and battling. A person must be prepared for this and not to attempt to follow the Lord lightly or half-heartedly. There's a warning here to count the cost. But there is, again, great peace for those who choose to follow him. Well, we'll move to Luke 19. Now we're pulling up to the Easter season. Luke 19. And we'll read at verse 36. This is the triumphal entry. Luke 19, verse 36. As he rode along, the people spread their cloaks on the road, and as he approached the descent from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to praise God joyfully in a loud voice for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. But some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he answered, if they remain silent, the very stones will cry out. Well, this is the wonderful story of the triumphal entry. And as the people here were quoting from the Old Testament, from Psalm 118, which says, "Blessed be he that comes in the name of the Lord." The people recognize Jesus as the King who comes in the name of the Lord. And this is really the fulfillment of what we had, where we began back in the start of Luke, the angels sang, the angels told the shepherds about this baby who was coming to bring peace. And now here he is, the baby has grown up, he's a man, he's coming into Jerusalem, and he's going to fulfill what he came to do. Now, of course, the people were under a bit confused. We know that less than a week later, the people would be crying out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And yet, as he comes into Jerusalem, the people are calling out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Just where it began, back at the start, with the shepherds and the angels in the field. Peace and glory to God. As we continue on, the very next few verses again mention peace. Verse 41, "As Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If only you had known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it's hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will barricade you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will level you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God.'" This solemn warning from the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the crowd who was so enthralled with him now, just a few days later, would be calling for his crucifixion. And they missed out. They missed out on peace. It wasn't just that they could have peace, but here was the peace giver himself was right before them, and they missed out on it. Again, how true is that today? How many people this morning are missing out on the peace giver, the Lord Jesus Christ? He's right there before them. Even people who are celebrating Easter, celebrating the resurrection this morning, how many are yet missing out on his peace? They see him, they're caught up in all the celebrations, and yet they don't know him. They haven't trusted in him to have their sins forgiven, to have the healing that he gives, to have the peace that only he can give. And they're just like 2,000 years ago, the same is true today. And it's my hope and prayer that everyone here this morning would know him, would have his peace, would have a relationship with the peace giver himself. Well, there's one more reference in Luke 24. Luke 24, after the crucifixion and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he appeared to his disciples, a couple disciples on the road to Emmaus, and after that they relate, they go back and tell the other disciples, and we'll read at verse 35, "Then the two told what had happened on the road and how they had recognized Jesus in the breaking of the bread. While they were describing these events, Jesus himself stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.'" This morning, I would say to you that the Lord Jesus Christ would say the same to each of us this morning. Just as he was with his disciples then, so he is with us now. And he's saying to us, "Peace be with you." Whatever your trials, troubles, worries, the Lord wants you to have his peace. A peace that only he can give. A peace that this world can't even offer. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "Peace be with you." He personally came to give peace to his disciples. And so I would raise the question, do you have peace? Do do you have peace? You can find it in God's Word, His written Word, and in the incarnate Word, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. As we've gone through this, hopefully you've been able to see a few things. This peace is given by God. Again, it's not something the world has. It's not something you can buy. It's not something you can create yourself. People try all kinds of things to have peace, but they ultimately fail. But this is something that God gives, and we receive it by faith. We believe Him. We take Him at His word. And it's a wonderful, wonderful gift that He gives us. We see how peace is kind of tied together with forgiveness, with healing, with salvation. It's all tied in together that we can have this peace, but it's only through Him. It's only by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and putting our trust in Him. And again, I hope that each one here this morning knows Him and has their trust in Him. And if you do, then take hold of His peace. Don't worry about the trials and troubles. There's a lot going on in the world right now, but if you know Him, you can have peace. And so that's the message for this morning. Jesus says to you, peace be with you. Thank you. It's been great being with you, seeing all of you, and what a wonderful thing it is to know our Lord and to have His peace.